Welcome to Energy in Action. I'm your host, Marcy Young, and as a Mito patient myself, I appreciate you and the community you've helped us to build. This podcast honors the triumphs and struggles of patients and families affected by this disease and celebrates the work being done by doctors and researchers every day to make it a safer world for our people. We are a support group and a podcast focusing on all things related to mitochondrial disease. Today, I am joined by Christine and Sean Lachlan. And, you know, this Mito community always inspires me. And today, that feeling has been taken to a new level. I'm so excited to introduce you to this mom and son duo. Such a wildly inspiring story. And before you listen to this episode, I ask you to watch the attached video in the show notes. Your jaw may hit the ground. This is really exciting stuff for a Mito community. I want to put this kid on a pedestal. I am so impressed with his dedication and his energy. He has a mitochondrial disease, but somehow he figures it out, right? So Sean and Christine, welcome to our show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm tearing up at your introduction. Sorry.
You're tearing up already. How's the rest of it going to go? You're fine. I tear up sometimes too. I mean, it's, you know, we talk about really personal, important, you know, meaningful stories, you know, and it's okay to be emotional. That's kind of the name of the game. And our listeners are part of our mitochondrial disease community, and I think they feel with us. And so these are important feelings, and no feeling is inappropriate. So I don't want to give anything away, but Sean has had quite a journey this year, and he was very much the star in American Ninja Warrior. So before we get into the Mito stuff, which we do want to talk about, and we want to learn about Sean and his journey, but first, Sean, please share with us how the show process works. Not all of us are going to have this opportunity to be on a nationally televised show, you know, especially one where we're doing something so active. So kind of tell us how this all came to be and what it was like to be on the show.
Yeah, well, American Ninja Warrior originally started from the show Suzuki from Japan. They originally came up with it. The difference about A&W, well, because it's in Las Vegas, it's a law where because I'm a minor, I have to do school like the entire time I'm out there. And like the only time I get off are like the days of my run. So like they have like two separate classrooms, like one of the homeschooled kids and another classroom of the people that do public school. And yeah, so like the show is completely filmed at night the entire time from like 8:30 to 6 at night. So it's like, it's very tiring just staying up the entire time. But usually the good thing is for the minors, they make them run earlier unless they make it to the finals, just because the finals is like after the qualifying rounds. But it's like a really fun experience, just super tiring. So because we have to like do interviews all day and like B-rolls, like right before we compete, basically. And then like after that, we just get the rest. Like they have like a pool, so we go to like the pool and everything. But it's definitely like an exhausting but very, very positive experience. So like I definitely love it a lot.
So how long were you out in Vegas?
We were out like close to 2 weeks the entire time. Just like even after like I like fell in the water, I like still got like just got to stay and like watch like a lot of my other friends go and stuff like that.
Okay, so you stay the entire duration, no matter when you get out of the competition?
Not necessarily. Like, usually they make you, like, they'll have, like, a certain date where you go home, unless you ask them, like, ooh, can you push the flight back? And, like, we'll just stay at our own hotel, because they pay for your hotel, they pay for your flight, so the flight doesn't matter. They can push that back as like as far as you want, really. But they're not going to pay extra days that you're free at the hotel. So like if you're willing to pay at the hotel, then you can stay as long as you want, basically.
This is so cool. I never really thought about
like the minors being there and needing to complete schoolwork and how long you might be there. I mean, to me, if you were to have asked me, I would have guessed, I don't know, 72 hours and they just film your episode and then that's it. But you're right. So each episode, they kind of stand on each other because then at the end, those who qualify then come together for a final episode?
Yeah, basically.
Okay. So tell us about how it went for you.
Well, like it was, you know, like because I have a mitochondrial disease, like it was very tiring. Because like even one of my other friends, like he doesn't even have mitochondrial disease and he made it farther than me. And he was like, dude, like you're lucky with your mitochondrial disease because you would have been like dead at this point. Because he said was super tired.
Wow. Wow. I mean, I can't believe that this is an activity that you can do and be so successful. And just being completely honest. I mean, you know, between pain and weakness, you know, so many people I talk to are just mired down in all of that. And I know you have that too, but somehow you can overcome it.
Yeah, like with the mitochondrial disease, we definitely have to like plan ahead of time. Cause like even my mom, she like spoke to like the cast and crew and everything ahead of time, to, like telling them like, look, we might need to like get him out of school a little earlier because like he's gonna be like very tired. So like we were able to like pull me like it's like 2 hours earlier just so like I could rest beforehand.
Okay.
There were some days they had to be in school for 6 hours a day. And I was like, he can't do that. I'm like, you know, the flight, the time change.
Yeah.
The being up all night. And then when do they sleep if they have to get up and do school? You know, it's like, it's ridiculous. You know, I mean, they have a rule that the minors are supposed to leave the set at a certain time, but they're like, it's up to the parents, you know, so. It was hard. Like sometimes we were there pretty late, but we tried to get him in bed so that he could get enough rest. But it was very, very taxing on his body.
Yeah.
Like it took him about probably over a month to recuperate when we got home to just like get back to normal and, you know, back on a normal schedule.
Right.
And he was quite sick for a while. He was just his energy was shot. He just had none left.
Oh my gosh. I literally cannot fathom this experience. And I'm still, I am so inspired. So how long have you been practicing for this?
Well, yeah, I like started like a little over 4 years ago and like started competing in like competitions at like local ninja gyms like 3 years ago.
Wow. And you constructed a ninja course in your backyard? Is that your backyard?
Yeah.
Okay, so kind of tag team this. Tell us about how, because if you've watched the video that we put in the show notes, you've seen a glimpse of what this constructed ninja gym looks like. Who made that?
My husband did.
Oh my God.
His dad. Like, he's like a jack of all trades. He can literally do anything and he's so smart and he can build anything. And he basically did it like by himself. He dug all the holes. He like took these big 6x6 wood beams, you know, and put them on a hand truck, wheeled them into the back, and then like just, I don't know, got them in the hole somehow and concreted them all in. And then, and he has a bad back, like he's got a really bad, he's had surgery and everything, so I just don't know how he did it. But it started out just being, I think it was like what, 8x24, is that right, Sean? And then now it's like what, 40 feet by, is it 24 by 40 or something like that? I don't know. There's like 340 foot lanes that Sean just has, like that he can do all kinds of stuff.
Wow.
It took him a long time. We're still painting it and everything, but he goes out there and practice. He has comps all the time for his friends and they love it. They're like, Sean's like the best. He makes the best comps. And like, they're so hard. Like, we can't even do this stuff. They're so hard. It's so funny.
So do you let friends use the equipment?
Yeah, like they'll come over all the time and like I'll just like set up random stuff because that's like the good thing that it's my own course. Like, oh, they want to set up something? All right, let me go set it up.
Oh my gosh. You know, it'll be so interesting. Hopefully I can interview you again in, I don't know, 10, 15, 20 years. And maybe you'll slow the progression of your mitochondrial disease because you're working so hard on being active and healthy. And, you know, none of us know how to slow this down. But the only thing I've heard right now is, I mean, obviously there's supplements, you know, there's different things, but my mitochondrial specialist really has just kind of taught me to be good to my body and try to exercise. And I can't do anything like what you're describing, but I do little spurts of stuff. And to me, it's the best I can do. And, you know, if I can keep working at that level of like, this is the best I can do, and you're working at the level of this is the best you can do, you know, maybe you really can slow the progression down. So I've read reviews of you, Sean, being on this show, and one reviewer said that you were one of the most memorable moments of the show the entire year, the entire season. How does it feel hearing those words?
Yeah, like it feels really good to like know that like everyone really liked my story, and like I just hope that it was like I was able to like encourage others to like keep pushing on and like make it through their day, like if they're having a bad day, like whatever they're going through, just to like keep going.
I mean, I imagine that there's kids out there watching the show. Maybe they don't have a mitochondrial disease, but maybe they do have some other rare disease or condition that does slow them down or, you know, keep them from, you know, being at the same level as their contemporaries, whatever it may be. And I'm sure you were an inspiration to all of them, not just those with mito, right?
Yeah, I mean, that was definitely my goal. Like, I wanted to, like, just, you know, like, tell everyone, like what I said on the warped wall, like, no matter how big the battle, you can always overcome it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I need to keep that mantra in my head some days, right?
There's a like pro ninja who won the show twice back when it was $1 million that they could win.
Oh.
And he won it twice back to back, and he had cerebral palsy. They told him he would never walk and that he was always going to, you know, have like just all these problems. And his mom was like, nope, you're not going to put that on my son. We can overcome this. And I got to talk to her and him at Worlds this. Oh my goodness. I told them they were such an inspiration to us because I couldn't imagine like what he went through. And then he won it twice. And I've always used him as an example as Sean. And I'm like, look, that kid in some ways was way worse off than you. And look what he was able to accomplish. You can do this. You can win this show one day. I believe you can do it. You just have to believe in yourself. Like, it'll come. You just gotta, you know, I know you have a lot against you, but like, you know, this next year, if he gets on, we're just going to go out and relax and be really careful. We're not going to do anything. We're going to make sure he's well rested and, you know, just has everything he needs. And hopefully we can get him further in the process.
So is there any opportunity to be on the show again, or have you been a contestant and that's probably it?
Yeah, like you can get on like every season. Like that's the main thing they want you, because every person that goes on the show, obviously they're good at ninja, but like what they want is for that person to have like a really good story, because you know they want to draw on publicity and stuff like that. So like you can go on as many seasons as you want.
You can.
Well, if they accept you.
Yeah.
You have to reapply every year. You have to send in a video submission. Yeah.
You're not out of the running.
Right.
Okay.
So everyone's told him they would be really shocked if he didn't get back on again this season, because he, you know, no one's ever been on the show before that has a feeding tube and like, you know, that's like him. And so He got over 7 million views on his video. So I'm just like, it's incredible. Like, I think that's more than I think almost anyone has ever gotten or something like that. So it's crazy.
Oh my gosh. how did it feel as his mom to go through this? I assume you stayed in Vegas with him.
Yeah.
Okay. How was this as his mom, knowing how much he's overcome to be here and how hard he's worked? And
it was, I think I cried more than I've ever cried because I was so proud of him. I'm going to cry again because I'm like, you know, I saw how hard he worked. I see, like, in the wintertime, how sick he gets. Like, we've often thought of moving to warmer states because in the winter, he gets so incredibly sick. And then he's out of Ninja for, like, you know, a month or more at a time. And so he can't train like everybody else. All of his friends, they can like go to the gym every single day and do all kinds of stuff. And not him. Like he goes, like tonight we'll go for his ninja training. I guarantee tomorrow he'll probably be laying on the couch exhausted and trying to recuperate from tonight's workouts. But being out there, it was really incredible because I got to be, all the minors have a chaperoned that parent that has to stay with them at all times. And so I got to go back with him and see all the behind the scenes stuff, which was really cool. And they were like really good to him. They assigned two social workers to him to make sure like that his health was being addressed properly. They let him run early in the run order. So they didn't like make him sit around all, you know, for hours. He got to run fourth, which was really nice because the nerves are like super high.
Yeah.
But it was really cool. Like you take a little shuttle over to the rig and they have all these tents set up for the athletes and all this food. I mean, obviously he didn't get it to eat the food, but I did. Although I didn't really eat anything because I was like so nervous for him that I was like,
I can't imagine.
It was very nerve-wracking. And it was funny because Sean doesn't like for us to talk about his comps or his, you know, any of that kind of stuff before they happen. And so I was like, you know, before we went out, I was like, okay, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to not do? Like, what can we, you know, do you want me to say anything? Do you not want me to say anything? And, you know, he's basically just like, I know what I need to do. And I just had decided, okay, I'm not going to talk to him at all. I'm not going to talk about the run because they get to do a walkthrough and then they have someone demo the course. So they get to, you know, you get to see all of this. And I was like, all right, I'm just not going to say anything. If he wants to talk to me, he'll talk to me. So it was good. You know, he just like sat with his friends, kind of chilled. And then, you know, we go through the walkthrough and stuff like that. And, you know, he would talk to me every now and then, but we never talked about his run, the obstacles or anything. I think I might have asked him like one or two questions just because I was curious, but I tried not to like tell him, oh, I think you should do this or I think you should do that, because honestly there were some obstacles that I was like, there is no way he can do that. I don't know how he's going to do that. And then he did it, and then I was just like, he blows me away every single time. And I'm like, it's insane.
You must be so proud.
It was incredible. Like, I was really proud of him. Like, for him to get a buzzer, they told us the hardest thing is just getting on the show. That's literally the hardest thing to do because they get 50,000 applicants every year. So they said to get picked is like almost impossible. And then to get a buzzer, like most people don't, you know, it's really hard.
Yeah.
And so it was, I have never been so proud in my whole entire life as I was of him, just because I know how hard it was for him. And basically his entire gym at the time came out. We had like at least 40 people on his sideline. So if everybody watches the video, and you'll see a sea of blue shirts that say Mito Man, he had so much support out there, more than anyone I think has ever had. It's so cool.
That's so cool.
The funny thing about that too is that like the producers loved it because one of the things that a lot of people don't know is that they'll just, to fill up like the stands and stuff like that, they'll just pay random people on the streets to come and watch. So it just fills up the stands. So when they saw us bring 40 people, they're like, sweet, less money we have to spend.
Less work. You did their job for them. And it's late hours, you know,
it
so it's
is.
Not like, you know, I remember people wanting to get tickets for like the Oprah Winfrey show or whatever, you know, when it's like taped during the middle of the day. This is at night and it's like a whole different thing, right?
And after his first run, it used to be where if you clear the course, you automatically get to go on to the next round. But this year, that's not the case because he's in the Northeast. This year, they broke it up between like West Coast, East Coast, like the middle country. So they did it like that. Well, the East Coast is notoriously known for having the best ninjas in the whole country. And it's highly, highly competitive on the East Coast. So it's really, really hard. So we were told by other people there that not only was Sean got stuck in the hardest group of people, he also had the hardest obstacles to do on that first run. So he had a lot of things against him. And it was like just amazing. I mean, I prayed and prayed and prayed. And so we had a lot of people praying for him. And I'm telling you, the Lord came through because,
wow,
I mean, it was crazy. Like, so it's just, you know, it was very, very hard to be able to get past some of these things.
I can't imagine. So I guess this question is probably more for Christine, but like when I talk to my doctor, you know, it's really important that I don't push myself too much because, you know, like how hard is it going to be to get back to my baseline, right?
Right.
You know, Sean, I don't know if that's the same for you, but what do his doctors think about this intense type of activity?
They were very positive about it.
Good.
They were so really excited and really encouraged him. Like, they're blown away that he could even do this stuff. Like, we showed them,
yeah,
especially as pediatricians.
Like a whole case study.
It was incredible. Like, they really were supportive. Now, he did have to go through, like, he had to get a history and physical. He had to get heart, like an EKG done and stuff like that. And because he has epilepsy as well, you know, he had people assigned to him out there just to watch for that. But his doctors were incredibly supportive, especially his pediatrician has just been wonderful. And he like thoroughly checked him out, made sure he was okay. I tell you, he's the greatest doctor in the entire world. I feel like he takes everything we say seriously, you know, like he doesn't just, I know a lot of doctors can, you know, with especially with mitochondrial diseases, they don't get it. They don't understand. Mm-hmm. We've been through that with like some specialists before, but his pediatrician is just great. Like everything I tell him, if I'm worried about something, he's like, you know what? Let's just check it out. Let's, you know, because he breaks bones a lot.
Oh, okay.
He's very hypermobile, as a lot of mitochondrial kids are. And so, yeah. You know, his joints and stuff aren't the best, and he does break bones a lot, but they were just like, we're going to be rooting for you. And his pediatrician, after he saw his run, he called and left a message.
Oh.
It was really, really sweet, like really nice, and was so proud of him.
Oh.
And I think he had no idea just how physically demanding
right.
the sport really is.
Right.
And so it was funny how he was just like, oh my goodness, like I'm blown away. I had no idea that, you know, it was like that you were doing that kind of stuff.
Sean, can you tell us about your mito journey and how it came to be that you were diagnosed and what challenges you face day to day?
Yeah, well, like when I was really younger, we started like thinking like he's not really like tolerating food too well. So like we went to the doctors like, oh no, surely he's fine because they never heard of something like that. So like I got older and stuff like that. And then we finally just like went to the doctors and we're like, no, like there's something serious wrong with him. So they gave me a G-tube, which still was causing problems. But like later on, they found out like it was my stomach that was like that wouldn't work because my stomach just can't like digest food at all, like in general. So then they switched out with a GJ tube, which is like a foot long that goes through my jejunum instead because that like surpasses my stomach. But like basically with the mitochondrial disease, just like I'm just in pain like all every day. Like some days are worse than others, especially after like doing Ninja. Like it just hurts to walk even a lot. So like I always have to like rest a lot after I do like a lot of sports and stuff like that.
So it affects you. Does it affect you that day or do you feel it more the next day?
It affects me that day a lot, like especially like right after I'm done. Mm-hmm. But like it definitely affects me more the next day too.
So you can't eat anything?
No food at all. All of your nutrients.
Okay. All your nutrients come from your feeding tube.
Yeah.
What about liquids?
I can have water and that's it. Like literally just water. There's nothing else I can have.
Oh, okay. Okay. So how old were you when you got your official diagnosis?
2 years old.
Wow. So
I think he was around two, between 2 and 3, I think.
Okay. That was a fairly quick diagnostic journey in the grand scheme of things, right?
Yeah.
It probably didn't feel like that at the time, but
oh, man, it did not. I was like, I mean, because I knew by 3 months of age that there was something seriously wrong, and he was fine until then. And it's just been recently that I've started wondering if it was the 2 month vaccines, because you know, at 2 months they get like all these vaccines at one time, and he's never been able to tolerate them. But I did not know this at the time. And I really wish that I had did my research, because I would have never gotten him all those vaccines had I known that, because a month later is when he started showing all these signs. I'm not saying it caused the mitochondrial disease, but there's a correlation there, because he was fine. Like we were not having any problems until 3 months of age. And then it took me till he got two years, because we first went to Johns Hopkins and they kind of thought he had sucrase isomaltase deficiency, because like first he was, I mean, I had always nursed. Mm-hmm. And then we thought the doctor thought maybe he was allergic to milk. And so I cut out like all dairy and soy, they told me, and he was still getting really sick. So then we switched to formula, and we went through all these formulas until I went to a special GI doctor, and she was like, let's try Neocate Junior. And once we got him on that, it was like magic. Like he was just started to do so much better, and he was drinking out of the bottle still. And so, you know, we did that for a while, but Johns Hopkins, their genetics team wouldn't even test him. So then we just switched all of his care to children's, and we got with a really good geneticist, and she kind of like right away was like, oh, he has an energy deficiency. Well, I didn't know what that meant. I didn't know that meant mitochondrial disease. And I had already been thinking, I think he has a mitochondrial disease based on my research. And like one day, you know, but she's like really smart, and I just wasn't understanding what she was saying. And so one day I said to her like something about a mitochondrial disease, and she said, yes, that's what he has. That's what an energy deficiency is. And I was like, oh, okay. Well, I'm like, you know, it was kind of funny, but then we, you know, it took her a while to get his testing, you know, covered by insurance.
You have a genetic mutation, like a verified.
It's listed as a variance of unknown significance, I think. So he's got the markers for complex 1 deficiency, LHON, and Lee's syndrome, but no like slam dunk, as the doctor would say. You know, she's like, it's very incredibly difficult to find these things. And like, so he's had the microanalysis done, you know, the mitochondrial disease testing. He's had whole exome testing done. Now he's had whole genome testing done. But they're like, unless they know exactly what to look for, they can't really, it's just really, really hard to. She said it's almost impossible to diagnose these things. I guess because the mitochondria are in every cell of our body.
Yeah.
Because I even asked her one time, I was like, okay, so like, since his stomach seems to be the most affected, can't you just do a biopsy of his stomach? And she's like, Not unless we knew the exact cell that it was malfunctioning or, you know, something like that. And I was like, huh. She goes, so, because they did do a, they did a muscle biopsy. They did the Nissen fund application because he was having reflux really bad. But his, like, disease or whatever is so severe that, you know, he can't take any medications if it goes through the digestive system. He can't tolerate the binding ingredients of any meds. So they all have to be compounded or given through IV. And he also, like, he can't even brush his teeth with toothpaste. Like, he can literally have, like, no flavor, not flavored flosses, nothing. Like, it's really bizarre. Like, no flavoring, no food of any kind. Like, sometimes he can tolerate, like, a plain chicken breast. And that's, like, his special thing that he gets, like, you know, maybe on his birthday or something. But it causes, like, a multi-system breakdown. Like, neurological problems, immunologic problems, like, digestive problems, behavioral. I mean, it's crazy. Like, I have a spreadsheet of, like, all the things. And then I can tell you, like, depending on what he eats, what causes what, you know, like, reaction. It's crazy. So now we found, because we do food trials every now and then just to see where he's at. He's getting worse as he gets older. He's able to tolerate less and less.
Really?
So I just am like, you can't have anything. His doctors are just like, you can't have anything. You have to stick to your J-tube feedings. And, you know, we know it really sucks, but this is the only way to keep you healthy-ish. But when we have done these food trials, I mean, he gets so sick that he's in the hospital with, like, super high fevers, severe asthma, and, you know, all kinds of other things. Like, it just causes so many problems that it's very scary. So we just, you know, try to keep him just on his formula, and that's his baseline. That's it.
Yeah. You can't regulate body temperature?
Nah.
Huh.
He's got two different cooling vests that he doesn't wear like he's supposed to be wearing. I keep trying to tell him, you know, when you're doing Ninja, you really need to be wearing these things because it helps keep you cooled down so that you don't, you know, have a bad episode or you don't get yourself too sick. He recently did wear mowing the grass and said, admitted that it did help. So,
so he's still a normal teenager at heart.
Yes.
Right. Sean, do you go to school in a traditional setting?
I'm actually homeschooled. So, like, just,
okay.
I've been homeschooled all my life. I went to, like, public school, like, 2 years, I think. But, like, other than that, I've just been homeschooled the entire time.
Okay.
Yeah, he didn't have enough energy to make it through a whole school day. And, like, he was just getting really, really sick. We would pick him up from school and his behavior was off. He was just angry and irritated. And you know, we tried for, like, half of 1 year and half of another year. And then that was funny because then COVID hit and we were like, well, they're doing it all online anyway. So I was like, that's kind of nice. And then he couldn't even tolerate that because, you know, still they're doing it online, but it was like 8 hours a day. You had to be in front of the camera.
Right, right.
So we were like, this is ridiculous. I mean, I homeschooled all of our other kids. So I was like,
you did? Okay.
Yeah. So I was like, we're just going to go back to homeschooling you. But I put him in school because he was having a hard time reading. And just because of the sickness itself and, you know, the exhaustion that you get. I mean, you know, anyone with mito knows how incredibly demanding the disease is on your body and anything you do and it, you know, outside of it just adds all, you know, it just adds so much stress on your body. And so now we just homeschool and then he can take breaks when he needs to.
Less pressure.
Yeah.
You know, you can just kind of be you, right, Sean?
Yeah.
What other activities do you do besides Ninja training?
Well, I used to play baseball, basketball, soccer, and football, but I never played more than one sport at a time because my body
Okay.
just like was unable to handle it at all. But like now we finally just have like settled with ninja and like picked that as my sport.
And rock climbing, the rock
Yeah.
climb.
Is it easier because this way, like if there's a game and you're not feeling great that day, your team isn't, you're not letting the team down.
Yeah, that's the good thing
Is
about
that part of
ninjas
it?
because it's like
Yeah.
it's an individual sport. Like you still have a
Right.
team, but it's like an individual sport. So it's like you miss it, it's hurting you, not like your team or anything. So
And I feel like you can really go at your pace. I mean, outside of obviously the TV show that makes you do specific challenges, to get to the buzzer, but on your own, you can kind of pace yourself instead of going to a basketball practice where your coach is saying you have to do this and then this and then this, right?
yeah, like you could definitely like are able to take like a lot more breaks.
Yeah.
And the comps are like, they're like kind of long days, but they're broken up into your age bracket. And so, like in his age bracket, you just show up for that bracket and it doesn't take long. The runs for each person are like 3 minutes max. And I'm like, we always say the joke in our house is you can suck it up and do anything for 3 minutes. You can do this for 3 minutes. You have enough energy to do this for 3 minutes, then
Yeah.
you can collapse and that's fine.
So you go to competitions, never mind the TV show. You go to competitions for this in other cities or typically around where you live, or how does that work?
Yeah, there's like it depends on the competition. Like a lot of them that we go to, they're like within 2 hours. Like sometimes we travel like 6 hours to like go to different comp because like during the season we go like every single weekend. There's a comp that we go
Wow.
to, and sometimes even two comps.
Got it. So you're really doing this
Yeah.
frequently.
This year, I think he ended up fifth in the Northeast
And
region,
10th in the world.
10th in the world. I'm like, that's.
Oh my gosh.
And he made it like he, okay, this is another, I have to brag on him a little
You
bit
should
because.
brag on him.
Because not only the show, but like when he was at his big WNL Worlds competition, he had a broken finger. And there's three stages. It's hard enough to get past stage one with everything, with being healthy and having no problems. Sean made it to stage three with a broken finger and literally did better than all the kids on his team in his age bracket. And they were perfectly fine. And so I'm like, I'm sorry, that might be bragging a little bit, and that might sound a little, but I'm like, that's huge because, like, after he finished stage two, he was in so much pain.
Yeah.
He like just dropped in the middle of stage two. And he, he came and he had gotten to that point so fast that he made it to stage three, and he came off the course going, crap. Now I made it to stage three. My fingers killed me. I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. Take me out. Take me out. I was cracking up. We're like, calm down. Like, let's see how you feel in the morning. And then in the morning came and he decided, yeah, I think I want to do it. And because like stage three is like more like they call it burnout. Like it's a lot of grip,
Okay.
finger
Yeah, like
tip grip
where you're
strength.
just hanging for the entire time. Like there's no place for you to land and just like take a
Okay.
rest. Like you're just hanging in your arms the entire time.
Oh my gosh. Well, my dexterity is horrible. I don't know about yours, Sean, but I wouldn't be able to do that for a second.
That's the other miracle with him. He had terrible dexterity his whole life. He had trouble holding a pen or a pencil. He couldn't use utensils when he was little. He couldn't tie a shoe for the longest time. And to see him now doing vertical limits where you're literally hanging on
Yeah.
the very tips of your fingers, and he can do it for like really long periods of time. He can just go down. It's really something to see him because, and he's light. doesn't have a lot of weight to him. And so he can just hang for like really long periods of time. It's really cool. I'm like, it's extremely impressive. And it's funny because like every time we go to a comp, people cheer for him more than anyone else. I think is, you know, he's got a ton of friends, ton of support. People know like how difficult it is just on everybody, but let alone Sean. So the community that we have surrounding us is amazing. Like the ninja community is really amazing. It's the only sport we've ever been a part of where all the kids get along, and not only get along, but they all cheer for each other and support each other. Even if that person can beat them, no one cares. Wow. The parents get along, all the parents support each other's kids. We all look out for each other. It's really like, it's really a special community. So Sean's got friends like all over the country that just, you know, adore him and like really like help him and encourage him and stuff like that. It's been really great.
I feel like, I mean, tell me if I'm wrong, but in a world where Mito probably takes precedence in so many conversations and with so many things you do, Sean, it must feel nice to just have these relationships because of something else about you that isn't Mito, right?
Yeah. Cause like, it's like very, just like very tiring to like do all this stuff. And it like makes like doing like ninja just like twice as hard. Cause like sometimes I even think I'm like, if I didn't have mitochondria, how would I be a ninja? Like, how good would I be?
Well, what do you tell yourself before you start a challenge?
Just like before each of my comps, I'm just like, it's just another comp. Like, I know I can do it. Like, I can do all these obstacles. Cause like before I went on the show, I used to be super nervous before comps and stuff like that. But like after that, I'm like, man, there's nothing to be nervous about. That's what I need to be nervous about. I'm not nervous about like these little minor comps anymore because I'm like, it's just another comp.
I would have to say a lot more to myself and I would get a lot. I wouldn't get as far. I wouldn't get anywhere. So I'm very impressed with you.
He started out the beginning of the season. He goes, man, after being on the show, I'm not nervous about anything anymore. He's like, that was the most nerve-wracking thing. And he says, so this year, I'm either going to be first or last at every comp because I'm going all out as fast as I can. It was so funny. And he did. And sometimes he was first and sometimes he was last. You know, you just, it was so funny.
So Sean, what would be the next step? Do you want to be on the show again?
Yeah, like I've already sent in my submission video and everything. Okay. So now like it was like 4 days ago that we sent it in. So we're just like, now we just wait. Yeah. We do the waiting game, just wait for them to call us back. So like hopefully when they do, my goal is to just make it to like the three-way racing and like hopefully move on from it. Cause that's what I really wanted to do this year, just make it to the racing rounds because I knew like I'd be pretty good at that.
Okay. Oh, I really hope that happens. This is gonna be a story that we're gonna follow. Sean, I know you're gonna I feel it in my heart that this is gonna continue on for you. And I want to have you back on so we can follow your journey, right? I mean,
definitely.
It's so cool to talk to someone with Mito about something that they're doing that's like physically active. That's such a rarity, you know?
Yeah.
I think he really loves ninja because it makes him feel normal. He gets to be normal. It's a space where he doesn't have to think about being sick. Talk about being sick. He just gets to be one of the guys with his friends, and he just can like pal around with them, talk ninja, be a normal teenage kid, you know. And I think that's been the most positive thing for him is the relationships that he's made through this sport, and it's just helped him in so many ways, I feel like.
Wow. Well, I am hoping that you're back on the show and you can tell us how the next year has been in terms of the show and other comps you've gone to. I think that you are such an inspiration, as we talked about at the beginning of the episode, beyond the mitochondrial community. You know, there's kids out there with like what you said, cerebral palsy, or, you know, a number of illnesses that kind of get them down or get in the way physically, or they have a feeding tube for a different reason. And, you know, maybe they've never thought about themselves in the light that Sean thinks about himself. And hopefully, whether it's Ninja or something else, really, you know, thinking about getting outside their comfort zone. I think that this episode is going to be just really cool to listen to. I have been looking forward to recording with you guys for so many days.
Aww.
I think you guys are just such an incredible family. Thank you, Christine and Sean, for sharing your story with us. I really hope this is the beginning of more episodes to come.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, thank you so much. Yeah, definitely. Anytime.
Okay, great. Well, good luck to the both of you. I really hope you get on the show again, and we'll make sure that we're following your story.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us. I encourage you to browse other Energy in Action podcast episodes. I am so inspired by the resilience of those in previous episodes, and I know you will be too.